is entitled Don't Stop at Strong and Courageous. And I have been praying during the last few weeks about how God is leading me as your new pastor, what God has for our church. And somehow my Facebook feed ads, they know what my top priority is right now. And I don't know how that happens. I don't know if my phone is listening to me, but I have been getting all of these ads. So one will say, like, come to this conference and we'll teach you how to be a good leader. And another one says, read this book and we're going to give you the formula for church growth. And another one says, this app is going to help us or help you plan what you're going to do in 2026 for your church. And even though their ads are tempting, what I really want is to hear from God what he wants for us, for our church, for 2026. And God just keeps putting in my mind the book of Joshua. And November, when I was here, we talked about Moses. Now, the first five books of the Bible are written at least in part by Moses. And who here remembers what the first five books of the Bible are called? What is it? Pentateuch, yes. And so today, I want you to find a Bible. You can use your own Bible. You can use the Bible in the back of the pew. You can use your phone. Normally, I put the scriptures up on the screen. But today, I just really want to dive into the book of Joshua, and I want you to be able to see it and follow along yourself. So Joshua is the sixth book of the Bible, and at the end of Deuteronomy, it says, Moses died, and the Israelites mourned for him for 30 days. You know, Moses was this huge leader, and he had led them for over 40 years, and now he is deceased, and 30 days doesn't seem like a long time to mourn before they head on to the next, but that's what it says. So in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says that the Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. Now at verse 1, 6, it says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the ancestors to give them. Now, God is going to make Joshua a great leader. Joshua served under Moses, and in fact, Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses laid hands on him. In the scriptures, it repeats over and over again to be strong and courageous. And the one that I hear most often that people quote is in chapter 1, verse 9. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God be with you wherever you go. And I really love that scripture, and I see why people quote it all of the time. But I think we should probably be thinking about verses 7 and 8, because there is a command that is attached. So let's go to verses 7 and 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I mean, we like when God tells us to be strong and courageous, and then we're going to be successful. However, obedience to God is required. We can't just live however we want. We have to be obedient to God. And during this time, the Israelites lived underneath the law, and they had to follow it. And Joshua was a good leader because he followed God's commands. And Joshua's going to lead the Israelites into the promised land, and the priests are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and God is going to part the Jordan River so that they can cross, just like he did 40 years earlier when he parted the Red Sea, and so they could pass there as well. But God has a number of steps that they have to follow, and those include things like they have to build an altar out of the stones from the river. They have to perform circumcision on the males that were born during the 40 years that they were wandering in the wilderness, and so that needs to happen, and they need to celebrate Passover. And just a side note, this is when the manna stopped. God's provision of manna was no longer needed when they entered the land of milk and honey. And God's blessings are always on time. And so God is leading them forward. They don't need this manna. Things have changed. And so that's the same with us. We can't say, well, we've done this for 40 years. Because as God's moving us forward, he may have new things for us in that new season. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 9. Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the inhabitants of the land." Now, what this is saying is that there's going to be some big battles ahead. And I believe that we too are going to have some battles, some struggles. And we live in uncertain times. I don't know what 2026 will bring, but I do know that God will be with us in whatever battles or struggles that we have. So let's look at the first battle that Joshua was going to encounter, and that was to take the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho was a powerful, fortified city. It had massive high walls, and it was also an important city because it was it was along the trade route. And it had these big gates that they had shut to keep the Israelites out. And if I were Joshua, I would stand before this big fortified city and I would think, well, how are we going to take this city? And when Joshua was near Jericho, he saw a man standing with a drawn sword in his hands. And so Joshua asked him, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And the man said, "Neither," that he was the commander of the army of the Lord. And then Joshua, he fell down on the ground in reverence and asked, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" And I love that. The very first thing he wanted to know was, what does God have planned? What does God want? So the angel is going to tell Joshua the plan, and so I've kind of broke it down into five parts, this plan. I've broken down into five parts. Number one, they were to march around the city with all of the armed men, and they were to do this for 6 days. And number two, they were to have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horn in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And number three, on the seventh day, they were to march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. Number four, when the trumpets gave a long blast, the whole army was supposed to give a loud shout, and then the walls were going to collapse and the army was going to go in. And number five, they were to not keep any of the devoted things, or they would bring about their own destruction. Now, devoted things were items or people irrevocably given to God, meaning that they were to be kept in his treasury, the things like silver and gold and bronze and iron, or they were to be utterly destroyed as a holy offering. But these things belonged entirely to God, and taking them for any personal gain brought upon a curse upon you. Now, there were some exceptions. In some of the later battles, God would say, okay, you can keep the livestock, or, you know, you can have this or that. But that was at God's discretion. Now, in theory, I think all of us would agree that to follow God's plan is the very best thing. His plan for our life is better than any plan we can come up with. But don't you think it was probably strange for them when they heard this plan? I mean, this is what they heard. They were going to march around the fortified city for 7 days, blow some horns, shout, and the walls were going to fall down. Does that seem probable? All things are probable with God, but are possible with God. I mean, was this a common military strategy of the day? I don't think so. But Joshua didn't want to hear from military people who make military strategies. There we go. He wanted to hear from God. And in the same way, I don't want to hear from all of the people on my Facebook ads about what to do with our church. I want to hear from God. What does God want for us? What does God want to do with us in this next year? Now, the Bible doesn't say that some people thought Joshua was a little crazy. It doesn't say that. But in my mind, I think that there was probably at least a good chance that there were some soldiers who kind of thought in their heart, they kind of grumbled a little bit and said, well, this is a stupid plan. I mean, that's just our human nature. Sometimes we kind of doubt and we want to go, well, that doesn't even sound reasonable. But let's turn to Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. At the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed, so everyone charged in and they took the city. Now, after they took the city, they burned it. They did take the gold and silver and bronze and iron and put it in the Lord's treasury, but they burned the city. And again, in my imagination, I think, well, those that might have grumbled about the plan, don't you think they would have said, wow, I can't believe that worked. I would have. But it did work. And what's very interesting is that archaeology reveals evidence consistent with the Bible's account of this destruction. And the evidence includes collapsed mud brick walls that fell outward, a thick burn layer from fire and charred grain and storage jars that suggest a sudden fiery end rather than a large siege. And also, along the high walls, there were some lower walls where there were places that people lived, and there was one section that they found that remained, that wasn't destroyed. And it's believed that Rahab's house could have been there along that lower wall, and it wasn't destroyed. Now, I didn't talk about Rahab this morning because that would just make this sermon long, and that's probably a sermon for a whole different day. But she was an important part of the story. Now, there was a man named Achan, and he was disobedient. And he kept some of the devoted things for himself. To be specific, he kept a beautiful Babylonian robe. He kept some silver and some gold. And then it was time for Joshua's second battle, and Joshua took 3,000 men, and they went forward, and they lost. And Joshua is upset, and he's talking to God, he's complaining to God, and he's like, God, why did you send us, and then we lost? And let's read what God's response was. It's in chapter 7, verse 11. And God says, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. So God knew that Achan had kept some of these things, and he wasn't supposed to. Now, Achan and his household, they're going to die for this disobedience. And after that, Joshua is going to go and fight the people that had defeated him earlier, and they're going to win. Obedience, it's a serious topic. And you could say, well, that was the Old Testament. But Jesus takes obedience seriously as well. In last week's children's sermon, our scripture verse was John 15:14, where Jesus says, "You are my friends, and if you are my friends, if you do what I command." I want to be friends with Jesus, so therefore I want to do what he's commanding me to do. The story of Joshua is very important, not only from what it teaches us, but also because Joshua is a foreshadowing to Jesus. Now, why do people say that Joshua is a foreshadowing to Jesus? I'm going to give you some of the reasons that we think that. The meaning of the Hebrew names of both Joshua and Jesus means the Lord saves. Isn't that nice? Joshua led God's people to the promised land, and Jesus makes a way for us to go to heaven. Joshua and Jesus are both obedient. Joshua conquers enemies, while Jesus conquered sin and death. Joshua's earthly conquest was temporary, but Jesus' victory leads us to eternal life. And Joshua is going to go on to divide the land as inheritance for Israel. But Jesus promises an eternal home with him. I was talking to my brother this week, my baby brother, and he said, "Why do you preach sometimes from the Old Testament?" And the reason is, I think that the Old Testament is also crucial for us to see God's plan and his promises fulfilled. If we don't know the backstory, it's hard to see how Jesus came and fulfilled so many of those things that were predicted and the promises that were made. And God's promises are often linked to specific commands, commands where obedience unlocks blessings, blessings like to be in his presence. And next week, I really want to talk about a lot of God's promises. When I was a new Christian, I would hear about people talking about God's promises, but I didn't really know what they were talking about. And so next week, I want to talk about that. We want God to bless our church, to bless our work, to bless our family. And God wants to bless all of those things too. Just don't put roadblocks in the form of disobedience that stop those blessings. We are God's children. We are to be strong and courageous, but we're also submitted to his will and under his authority. God has a plan for us for 2026. We can be encouraged by that. God will reveal his plan in his time. And one of the things I know about following God is many times God doesn't give me the whole plan. He gives me the part where I start. And then as I'm obedient, he gives me the next part and the next part. And Darren and Dan and I, we saw that when we started a business in Atlantic, a Christian business. And God didn't give us the whole plan at once, but he revealed it little by little. And it didn't always follow what business management professors would say was the right thing to do. But we did it just the same. Let us move forward, strong, courageous, and obedient. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of Joshua. We ask that you reveal your plan to us. We ask that you help us to be strong and courageous and obedient to you and not be swayed by the world's opinions. Bless us this week and let us be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel like this was a shorter church service today. But we also want to pray for the people who are not here today. Jaden was at Philly.